This is Daguerreotypes Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is 2-3 page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW. Written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Daguerreotypes. This is flyer number 4-5, entitled Can Men Love Women Knowing That Women Don't Love Men? Description. This flyer claims that as more men are influenced by MGTOW ideas like the red pill and female hypogamy, men will fall out of love with women and protect themselves more against parasitical female nature. Flyer itself. Can men love women knowing that women don't love men? I think the short answer to this question is yes, but with much greater difficulty. Anyone who has absorbed what is probably the MGTOW movement's main message, that is, the red pill, that is, that women don't love men, but rather men's exploitability, will look upon women much more cynically and with colder eyes, constantly looking for symptoms of female hypogamy, that is, the female impulse to be on the lookout for a more exploitable male to whom she can upgrade if the circumstances are realistic. There are some circumstances when women do seem to generally love their man, but they are in a minority. For example, take the case of a woman who is a bit dumber than her man, who earns less than he does, and is a bit less facially attractive than he is. Then she may argue to herself that being hypergamous, which is inherent in her genes, is very probably not a realistic strategy for her. If she calculates the odds of finding a better man, that is, more exploitable, who will give her more money and status, are pretty well zero, then she may settle for the guy she currently has and make the most of it. That is, she will cease her constant looking for a more exploitable male and resign herself to the guy she has. When she has made that decision, she may well argue, if the guy I have now is the best I'm ever likely to get, then I may as well enjoy him and be nice to him in terms of mood and sex. So she learns to love him. My guesstimate is that probably about a quarter of married women are in this situation. I chose this fraction because the divorce stats show that about half of marriage end in divorce in the US, implying that the other half succeed, although that is probably a bad choice of word. I'm now ad-libbing. Very recently, I've heard, I need to look into this more interestingly, but a fascinating statistic, that of first marriages, only about 1 in 20 of them, so about 5%, actually about 4%, actually survive 10 years. So in other words, about 95-96% of first marriages end in divorce. Virtually all marriages, first marriages, end in divorce. And I need to digest that and think through the consequences. It's a fascinating statistic. I'll do a flyer on it for sure. And it will have a major impact on the men's movement, and women too, of course, if it's true. It'll just kill marriage. Okay, back to the flyer. Many of these non-divorcing marriages are sexless and joyless, where the woman has fallen out of love and sticks around with her man because she feels she would be worse off by divorcing him. Some marriages are fairly happy in the sense that the partners in the couple are quite mutually compatible, having mutual respect. So since half of marriages fail, remember the proviso I just did in the previous ad lib, so since half of marriages fail enough to lead to divorce and many of the remaining couples are sexless and joyless, the fraction of a quarter seems not unreasonable. But remember the proviso. Many men are quite naive when it comes to women. My own father and my son-in-law married the first woman to take a serious interest in him. This is a mistake, because such men sell themselves short. They then marry a woman who may be ambitious to catch a superior male who will be a better exploitable partner than a male of the same ability level as herself. I see this phenomenon a lot, Men are hungry to get regular sex and to be treated by a woman the way their mothers treated them, that is, as lovable and given a lot of attention as mothers do. Young ambitious women who are lucky enough to latch onto such superior males know that the odds of them finding an even more exploitable male are very low, so they try hard to keep the male's interest, which will be difficult for her because she has lower abilities, for example, in IQ, class, sophistication, etc. These women may live in fear that their man will wake up one day thinking, "Why am I married to this inferior creature? She's not in my league at all. What was I thinking?" So she makes a special effort to keep him by giving him good sex and controlling her female tendency to nag. She thus gives the exterior impression of being in love with him. And if the superior male remains rather naive and unknowledgeable about women, then he may be fooled and believe that she truly loves him, whereas in fact it's really only self-preservation on her part. She wants to keep what she has, thinking that she really doesn't deserve such a superior male. The above are examples where certain categories of women give the impression of loving men. What about the bigger picture, when the large majority of men in our modern cultures learn about the red pill and are permanently changed in their attitude towards women? What will relations between the sexes be like then? This is a big and important question. How will men react when they know that women know that men know about the red pill? Women will expect men to know that women don't really love men and that women are hypergamous. We may see pop music change as the love songs lose popularity, as most young men learn that female love is mostly a delusion and are given much less credibility in the MGTOW-influenced world. Until the gender politicians menfare the gender laws, the proportion of men who refuse to marry and have kids will just keep increasing. Men will twetwef, see my website flyers, knowing that women are hypergamous, and be prepared for it. When the relationship fails, as the majority of them do, in Sweden the separation rate of non-married couples is about 80%. Then there is no cost to the man. He doesn't have to pay alimony, no child support, and keeps his apartment because there are no kids, no marriage, and the ex-girlfriend is a fit, financially independent person. Twetwefing is a natural development for men who know that women don't love men. This lifestyle gives men the regular sex he wants and an easy out when the relationship almost inevitably goes bad. So my main conclusion and the main answer to the question in the title is that as a higher proportion of men learn that women don't love men, more men will choose the twetwef lifestyle as a form of protection against women, that is, against women's hypergamous and red pill nature. Notions of true love as portrayed in Hollywood movies and pop songs will be increasingly discredited and ignored. The culture will become more realistic. Men will twetwef and women will have to adapt to the men who have adapted. Women are genetically dependent on men. They evolved that way. That is why women are hypergamous. If women in the prehistoric past were independent of men in terms of resources, they would not have evolved their hypergamous nature. Cheers. Prof. Dr. Hugo de Garis. Prof. Hugo de Garis at yahoo.com. Website, profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. YouTube channel name, de Garis, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. Ciao.